welcome everybody to this week's episode of the Heroes Die podcast. In this episode, the dice really take over and tell the story. And the dice, that injection of chance, is one of the most important parts of tabletop role-playing games in my mind. Because no matter how good your character is at something, no matter how skilled, there is always the chance of failure with a natural one once the dice get involved. Similarly, no matter how outmatched you may feel, you roll a natural 20, things are gonna happen. Just like Sam in Kirith Ungol, scoring that hit on Shelob, scaring her away, giving him the chance to save Frodo. That hit on Shelob is a natural 20. He's got no business scaring that ancient evil off. This is an episode where the story is so clearly in the hands of the fates, and it makes for a lot of fun. Enjoy this week's episode of The Heroes Die. Hey, everybody, how are we doing this week?
Good.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. I got a question for you. So last week, we talked about songs that we think are good.
This week. Perfect. Not necessarily good.
Not just good.
All right. This week, I want to talk about songs that we thought were perfect and now make us cringe to think about. I'm asking about your cringiest music phase in your
Everything
life.
Everything by Saliva.
Everything by Saliva. I don't
Every
know
Every single song.
I don't even know Saliva, I don't think.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. So actually, on my flight this past week, I was like, you know who I haven't listened to in forever? Saliva. And I decided to put them on while we were taxiing after landing. If you're familiar with Click, Click, Boom, that is a particular hit of theirs. There's also Always and Ladies and Gentlemen. Those are the three, I think, kind of big bangers from
three
Saliva.
Three perfect songs?
Three imperfect attempts. Yeah, totally. But like listening back, they were like an early aughts kind of post-grunge hardcore rock band. That like used a lot of hip hop aesthetic and no hip hop music for the most part, a little bit, but
like, did they rap their lyrics?
Very few times, right? They would kind of dip into that sort of Linkin Park world, but for the most part, they were on the like hard rock side of it all. And so it was this really fucking weird blend of like musical influences and attempts. They're really mad. They're just mad all the time.
And you were into it.
Oh, extremely. Yes, yes. The 2000s were a mad time for Cole.
Yeah, thank you. They were a mad time. No. Not British. Not British. I was just angry.
They were a mad time.
Anybody else?
Limp Bizkit. 100%. I was really into it. To the extent that I would quote their lyrics to other people.
As like pearls of wisdom?
Nice.
Please tell me a scenario in which you used... Use that as a pearl of wisdom.
So they have a song called My Way, which, you know, whatever. And I just remember telling someone really seriously when they were really frustrated at something our teacher made us do. You know, sometimes, like, you know, you just want it my way or the highway.
Holy cow.
They were like, who is this philosopher prince?
Yeah.
I'm picturing 11-year-old Will saying that in earnest to some poor guy that's just like trying to get by as an English teacher.
Yeah.
Is it not a cover of Frank Sinatra?
It's a little bit of a cover.
Inspired by.
References. They references, exactly.
Okay.
Gives a Limp Bizkit giving a nice nod to Frank Sinatra.
And he's grateful.
Credit where credit is due.
Yeah, just like 11-year-old Will being like, some days, you know, like you don't want to wake up.
Yeah.
And
everything is fucked.
Everybody sucks.
Tell me that's not relatable. Tell me that's not the most 2023 song you've ever heard.
Oh, yeah. I'll throw on Limp Bizkit still. Fuck it. I'll say it. I'm not trying to say that the movie, they're awful. They're terrible. But like, I've definitely gone back for the nostalgia listen on them a handful of times and always been like, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Behind Blue Eyes can find its moment with me.
Yeah.
You know what was really bad that I didn't remember? Roland is like an abysmal song. Like that was probably their biggest hit, but like makes no fucking sense. And it doesn't even
go into Limp Bizkit for making sense though.
It's like, subtitled Air Raid Vehicle.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I'm pretty sure it's because they make fight music for 16-year-old white boys.
They're the never back down of music artists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Dag 99. Rudy, any regrets about your musical listening history, or is it all just like, no, just straight bangers?
I can't think of any music that like I'm embarrassed by or cringe at.
I think that's wonderful. I do, which is why I asked the question. The year is 2008. No, sorry. I was in high school. The year is 2003, and I am on the cross-country team, and I listen before every race to a band called Switchfoot.
Oh, hell yes.
Oh, yeah.
They love and they have some bangers, man.
Let's bring that Christian rock in here.
Yeah. That is the thing that I didn't know.
I didn't know. No one knew it.
No one knew. Yeah.
Jamming to it. I was just like very seriously, very earnestly.
Dare you loving. To move.
Rip, dude.
I mean, I was just sitting there just jamming out like those headphones that go on your ear and then behind your head.
The best made headphones, yeah.
Yeah, for like, because I needed to have my baseball hat with like a super creased brim on it all times. And God, I just listened to it so earnestly and so jazz. And then I found out it was Christian rock. And I was like, no, I've been tricked.
It's amazing that yours is that though, because mine is Creed. Another band of the exact same type.
POD. Yeah.
Like POD.
The Trinity. Yeah.
Paid, and I gotta say, it's not like Creed overall still kind of rips. Like,
Creed fucking rips, dude.
Yeah. Some of their songs are Creed still totally so good. Yeah. Higher is fucking insane.
Higher is
insane. Dude, the main song that I'm thinking of that I used to dig and thought was just the hardest thing ever is called Bullets. The lead track off of their, I think, sophomore album, Weathered. And it's like, look at me, at least look at me when you put a bullet through my head. It's so stupid. This is like fucking 12-year-old me just blaring this, thinking it is, I understood something else.
Yeah.
I'm listening to Bullets right now, and Ben, I have to say, the first 30 seconds just sound like, they're pretty scary. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of whispering.
Yeah, it's an intense song.
Morgan, anything on your radar?
I mean, I can own the fact that I definitely listened to a lot of like pop punk, emo, and ska in high school, but I don't regret any of it. I still like a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
I think,
No, me too. That's workout music for sure.
Yeah, I think the stuff like that I cringe to now is like really classic stuff that when I was in like ninth grade, I was like, oh, this is like old music that I'm like, I listen to now. And I'm like, every time this comes on in like a bar, I'm going to put a bullet in my fucking mouth.
Oh, please tell us, give us some names, my friend. Give us some names
that
14-year-old Morgan was into.
Like Billy Joel, right? And especially like Piano Man, every time that song comes on now, I'm like, this song is so fucking long and repetitive, and it's so fucking trite and cliche, and it's so fucking important to so many drunk assholes. It literally makes me want to fight people. I hate that song. I hate that song so fucking much.
Oh my God. I remember singing that song like on like travel buses in sports in high school, because it was like one of the only ones that we all knew the words to.
Yeah. When I first discovered it, I was like, oh my God, this is classic rock. I thought it was like this tradition that I was like, man, my parents know these songs. Oh my God. And then I heard them 9 million times more every single time I was in public and was like, I can totally be okay never hearing this song again.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll get stuck in your head. Just like the screams of your friend Detris getting stuck in your head.
Holy cow, man. What a transition.
I didn't even realize it was a segue until I was halfway through.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Your arms break apart. You have heard those screams in your mind. And we cut away over to the professor and Kavnakash. Professor, what is going on over there? How much longer do you think you can keep this up?
Well, Rutherford and I are hard at work trying to distract this fellow. What the issue with this orb is that it is not, are you aware of the idea that you can't draw a perfect circle? Like, if we took a stick right now and, like, you know, went into the sand and tried to draw a circle, it wouldn't be perfect. You're familiar with this concept.
Holy fuck.
This is sounding...
The professor's, like, waving a stick at him.
This is sounding like exactly where I thought you might be. So, give me another performance check.
While he's giving that check, I just need to say that Eugene is slack-jawed, staring at him.
Sven drops his hammer.
Uh-oh, guys. Let's see. It is a 23.
Holy
a 23. All right.
You're familiar with it!
Can I get perception checks from everybody?
It's like shaking the guy's robes.
The streak 17. Continues.
That's a 29 for Eugene.
17, 29.
21.
21. You're, with that 29, Eugene, beginning to see that Kavnakash is starting to be a little bit more suspicious of the blathering that the professor is doing.
Loaded.
What do you do?
I think Eugene is going to be like, Prof, I think you're going to have to slow down. I'm losing it here, and I've heard you explain this before, and I don't even know where we're going with the circle business. I'm starting to get confused.
Oh, why, it's very simple, Eugene. Why, the reason that this orb is not cooperating is because it is, in fact, not a perfect orb, as I was observing it, and my assistant here noticed that it is, in fact, a slight oval, as opposed to a full circular orb.
And Kavnakash says,
what are you thinking as you ask him to slow down? Do you have some thoughts, Druid?
Well, I mean, I like being helpful, and I would love to feel like I could give you a pointer or two with the destruction of the orb. I'm just not as well versed in some of the more demonic summoning aspects of the arts as the professor is here.
Understood. And Kavnakash starts looking around, and everyone sees Andruk tangled up with Detris, sees Leighton atop Claude, eyeing him warily. Svend, what's in your hands? Anything?
Svend does have his hammer.
And he says, and Professor, maybe you just need a closer look.
And he goes to shove the professor. Roll for initiative.
Okay.
Oh, fuck yeah.
We've got Leighton at 26, Andruk at 25, the professor at 23, Eugene at 18, and Svend at 11. However, Leighton, moving as quickly, nearly as you know how, your eyes dart up and you watch as Kavnakash, with a 30 initiative, moves to shove the professor off of the roof.
No.
Oh, no. Not very good on the die. Let's end it. And this is going up against, I think, your fortitude DC, Professor. What's your fortitude DC?
17.
17. Kavnakash just gets it.
Oh! Now, see here, Kavnakash. Yeah. There's no reason to. Why are you raising your fist that way?
He shoves you back towards the edge of the platform. About half of the space you're on right now is air. The other half, the edge of the platform. Professor, give me a reflex save.
At least you didn't use all your hero points recently.
I've still got plenty, and this is fucking dope. I don't need one now. That is a 28.
A 28?
Hell yeah, 19 on the die.
Oh my goodness. Well done. Well done. Yeah, you save. You are still there. You are like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then you lean forward, hands forward, and you're able to catch yourself before you go falling off. You're still in a somewhat precarious situation. That is Kavnakash's first action. With his second, he spins and he looks daggers at Eugene and says,
try to fool me, will you? Try to make a fool out of Kavnakash.
And a blade of black energy goes knifing out towards you, Eugene. Eugene, I am going to need a will save.
Oh, all right. God.
He's a will-based character, a wisdom-based character. We should be good here.
Thank God that Eugene's got some hero points. We're going to use a hero point and re-roll that one.
Damn it! Oh, I mean, good. We're sucking them out.
That was a 2 on the die. All right. Yeah, we'll take the 19 on the die for a 30.
Is that good?
Hell yeah.
For a 30, that certainly passes, but is not a critical success. So this blade comes whooshing out at you, and that was a good time to use a hero point because this would have been a bad, bad critical failure. In any case, you are going to take 38 points of mental damage, halved down to 19.
Fucking hell, dude. 19 Yeesh. Still.
19
is
still.
Half damage?
Yes, because if someone wants to roll a knowledge check on what they just saw, I'll take knowledge arcana or knowledge religion.
Religion for 21.
Religion for 21. Having it just happen, I'm happy to give this to you. What you just saw targets people who cast divine spells. That's what you just saw. You saw that spell, Crisis.
It's a good thing that's only 60% of our party.
Yeah, we'll just put a little tie, a little bed sheet around the pillar here and climb down, Rutherford. Yeah, hold on.
But those are two big saves on Kavnakash's turn. The professor is still on the sun platform. Eugene did not take the full 38 points of damage, only 19, still getting licked. That moves us to Layton's turn. Layton.
Eugene does not cast divine spells, right?
Like he casts primal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Druid.
Druid, don't cast divine spells.
Good
call, Will.
Good call.
Nice.
Do you cast any divine spells?
No.
Oh come on.
I don't believe so.
No. No, this is serious. I thought I knew the answer, and obviously if I made a mistake, Kavnakash made a mistake. I thought that it was primal and divine, but I it sounds like I'm wrong. It's just primal for druids?
It's singular, right? So like even spells that are other types get converted to your type if you cast them.
Okay. All right. Well, good thing you rolled a 21 on that knowledge check, Cole, because Eugene, you only take 7 points of damage. You only take 7 points of damage.
Oh, Will, big save.
That's
a hero point, Will. Thank you, Sam.
Think of it this way, Will. It was a point made by a hero.
Yeah.
Right. So the professor really and Layton are dying.
God damn it! God damn it!
You're also divine? Well, Will is divine too. Andruk is divine. So it's still 60%.
Yeah, right. Don't say
we
this
can,
out
we
loud.
Can still get a TPK out of this.
I picked the one fucking caster in the party.
You picked the one dude who was being sincerely trying to help you figure out what's going on with this orb and this circle.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick.
Archival memories of first edition do be rough.
Mm-hmm.
I will say.
Yeah, that's where it was coming from. That was where it was coming from.
It was divine back then, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think this guy was that powerful, I'll be honest.
That's okay. He played a lot of 1 and 2.
Didn't know his measure.
Layton, you're up.
All right, sweet. Pardon me, just a quick do-si-do, Sven. Layton is going to take a single action to... Actually, no actions, because Claude is going to take one action to move himself to here. Andruk, we're going to not hurt Detris for now, but you just tell us when that changes. And Layton looks over from horseback at Kavnakash and says, "You're next over the edge, asshole." Roll a fortitude save, Sam.
Fortitude save. Okay. That's not good. 19.
Oh. You hit it exactly. But that means you're pushed 5 feet away from me. And seeing as the professor's already hanging on to the ledge that is 5 feet behind Kavnakash...
He crashes into the professor.
Yo.
No. Fingertips, baby. He goes flying over the top, doesn't have anything to hold on to. Sounds like he just dies immediately.
Probably. No, the professor is on the ledge. The professor is on the ledge.
Oh, I thought he caught himself. I thought he fell
and
caught himself.
He said he caught himself, but I think he meant like he caught his body.
The reflex save was to see whether or not he fell. He caught himself like, whoop, like this. Oh, in my zoom window, that looks like it's my fingertips. His toes are on the ground. He was only, he wasn't knocked completely off. If that changes what you do, Cole, that is fine.
He meant like caught his balance.
Yeah. No,
caught his
balance. I'm catching up here.
I thought it was a fair thing to do because half of the space is on the,
is real.
Is real. So I didn't want to just make him knocked off completely.
I think it's very cool that Sam is allowing Cole to redo his turn, and that's awesome, Cole, if that's your thing. I will say, I thought what Sam was saying is the way Sam interpreted it. I did think he was still on the
spot. No, I'm with I get it. I'm with
you. No, I appreciate that. Hero point, Morgan. Cole, will you take a note?
That's pays off.
You don't have one. You don't have one. I'm not giving that to you.
That's anti-hero bullshit. Point. You die at 5 hit points.
Will, would you give Morgan a hero point for that, please? One of yours? I think you got one at the end of last sesh.
Sam, the
Morgan is a cop, so.
Verified, oh, boogie man. Board, can see. Sam, the space that is directly to the west of Kavnakash, it's like 90% ledge. If I were to knock him 5 feet back that way, would it force him to try not to fall off?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't make you all roll for that. For the listening audience, most of the square is still ground, whereas the professor is about like 50-50, 60-40. So no, that one is not in play.
Heard. Okay. In that case, I am going to retcon this turn. So instead of that little do-si-do, Leighton is still going to tell Andruk that we await his wisdom, but he is going to take an action to hop off Claude and say, Claude, mix it up! Claude's going to run forward to get into melee range with his first action, and then he's going to take an attack against Kavnakash with his second. That is going to be a 28 to hit.
28, that is a hit.
Okay, that is going to be 10 points of damage. And Leighton, for his part, is going to reach his hands up and call to the clouds, and a like darkness spreads on one cloud way up above, just a little part of it, call down a lightning arc and split it between Terrence and Kavnakash. So can I get reflexes from each of them, please?
Yep, Kavnakash coming up. Just not great. That's going to be a 17 from Kavnakash and from Terrence. Why am I using this die? It's a 13.
That is going to be 7 points of electricity damage to each of them.
7 points of electricity damage. Jeez.
Zorch.
And that'll cap it for Leighton.
It's like you mean it.
I do. They're nasty.
And that brings us to Andruk's turn. Andruk, you are up in the business with Detris. What are you going to do?
I think Druk is going to look around and see a flying creature and feel like he might be the best suited to take down the flying creature. And so Druk's going to stride about 10 feet to the southwest, drop his short sword and draw his bow. That should be 2 actions, I believe. And for his last action, he'll take a shot at the, is it Terrence, the pterodactyl?
Terrence, the pteranodon, yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Pterrence, if you please.
It's a 25 to hit.
25 to hit this poor animal? Of course that hits.
It's 5 points of damage. The last thing he'll do is just yell to the group, just don't kill Detris. And that's all.
Aren't they already dead? Ish?
Are you actually responding?
No. God, no.
That's not the right time to ask that.
I filter my thoughts.
Read the room.
I don't know. They don't look very good. That is on Druk's turn. The professor, you are up.
All right. The professor is up, and he's going to raise his eye patch and say, Kavnakash. It's the guy's name, right?
I'm not going to tell you
better hope so.
Their name in this moment.
No, we've heard it 1,000 times. I'm just trying to say it.
We have.
Yeah.
Our understanding is that is their name.
Okay, let's give it a try. His name might be John. I don't know. Kavnakash.
Will save?
Yes, give me a will save. No. Give me a will save. Give me a will save at a -2, Sam.
This is my dice that says the F word for the natural 1. And that's what just came up. So I critically failed that will save for invoke true name, I imagine.
Invoke true name happened regardless. I was about to ask you for a will save. That was rolling at a -2. Invoke true name just happens. You don't save against it.
You don't save against invoke true name?
No.
This is me doing air guitar for the listening audience back home.
Hold on, hold on. Okay, you are not changing a fucking thing because you knew that I critically failed on this, right? You're doing the same spell.
No, I'm
okay.
going to do the exact same spell I was going to do. This is I've been planning on doing this spell in this moment, like, not on the edge of a cliff, but since last week, for sure.
I trust
46
you.
Episodes or so.
No, I for real did, Sam. Like, I'm not switching up a spell on you here.
Yeah, no, I thought that I was just critically failing on Invoke True Name, which is a cantrip, not your spell, which is going to be much, much worse.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Rocks fall, the professor's dead.
Hey, you can't do that. Yeah, I can. Says right in the book. Says in the book.
Oh my god, what are those catapults out there? They're firing at Cabinet Cash's reinforcements that only want to fuck up the professor? That's terrible.
Oh, every 500th rotation, the orb comes closer to the tower? Yeah, I guess it does.
Oh,
hits
wow.
The professor. Fuck it.
Yeah, you turn into a fucking turkey dinner, dude. Sorry.
So there's a heart attack.
All right, what happens
when
the professor
lifts his eye, he says, "From one heel to another, Cabinet Cash, you will live to regret what you've done to Detrus." And a wave of deep internal regret comes over Cabinet Cash.
Oh. Good. What happens? What'd you cast?
I cast Warrior's Regret.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to know what the effect of a critical failure is?
Nah. Yeah, Rudy, I sure do.
Nah, fuck it.
Do we ever?
So, as a success, at the end of its next turn, the target takes 1d8 damage per different creature it intentionally damaged on that turn. The maximum is 48 if it damaged 4 different creatures. At a critical failure, as success, except the curse damages the target at the end of each of its turns and lasts until the target spends 24 hours atoning for its perceived sins.
Wow. You can give it homework. Holy shit. It's like penance.
I was really expecting to fail the spell because it was a will save, but I just wanted a
natural one. I mean,
it's in a moment of really heightened danger, right? The professor's about to fall off the cliff, and like it comes from
rage.
This one for sure comes from hell.
No, absolutely, because that is the source of your power. It's devilish,
diabolic.
Oh, Rudy, excellent, great natural one for y'all. That blows for me. And God, dang it! That is the professor's turn, I believe. Eugene, you're up.
I get a couple D8 out.
Eugene's gonna be like, "Oh, guess we're casting spells." Eugene's gonna start making a motion like this with his two hands, like a dark green kind of mist. It's gonna start growing in between his palms. It almost looks like he's got a cocktail shaker in his hands or something, and then he's gonna flung both of them right at Cabinet Cash. And it's going to make a spell attack. And we're going to use a hero point and roll that again.
How many do you have?
All right. Now I have one. All right. So that's going to be a 23.
23 is a hit.
Woo! Yes. Cool. Yes. So Eugene just cast Acid Arrow. The text of Acid Arrow is, "You conjure an arrow of acid that continues corroding the target after it hits. Make a spell attack against the target. On a hit, you deal 3d8 acid damage plus 1d6 persistent damage." Well, let's roll some d8s.
Nope.
That's 4, 7, and 5. So that's 16 points of acid damage. And then we'll be rolling 1d6 persistent damage.
At the end of Cabinet Cash's turn, when we'll also be rolling the damage from his regret.
Yes. And then Eugene will just take a 5, 10, 20-foot step backwards, kind of towards the stairs. And that's Eugene's turn.
That is Eugene's turn.
Sam, would it be, like, cooler for Cabinet Cash if he had just been knocked off the edge and died immediately? Or do you want him to suffer like this?
It would have been a 10-foot fall. It would have been...
He would have landed
10 feet down to the roof of the pyramid.
I'm going to feel bad watching this happen. He would just take a step back.
I thought about it in my prep today. I'm like, all right, I think I'm going to try to shove the professor. And then like, oh, if they try to shove me off and they shove me, what the fuck? It's going to be so annoying because I'm going to be 10 feet down.
I really rolled my ankle.
I'll be there in just a minute. Just 1 minute.
Yeah, I was like, man, Terrence, I really hope Terrence, I get knocked off the edge.
Terrence, you son of a gun. Terrence!
All right. All right, so it is Terrence's turn, and yeah. Terrence is going to attack the person who attacked him, and then flap, gets airborne, and then does a swoop attack on Andruk as he travels the complement of his movement over to here, which is just south of the stairs, basically moving past the group, Andruk on the southern edge of it, just getting an attack there. I am going to try using the same die that keeps rolling dog shit.
Please do.
I just want to get an attack off. I just want to get an attack off here. That's a 22 to hit Andruk.
It's a hit.
That is a hit. That's a hit. We're going to roll damage right now. Wasn't prepared for this. What is the Tyranodon's damage die? Let's find out in 3,
next
2,
on the next
it is
episode.
1D. I know what
it is now.
Stop. It's going to take him that long to look it up, Rudy. We're just trying to give him time.
That is going to be 9 points of damage to Andruk.
All right.
I'll be taking that much in end of round damage for the rest of Kavnakash's life.
For 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Just go home and pray.
And then the Terrence looks right at Layton and goes,
It's the goat from the Mad Mug.
You peeked a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. And then the Pteranodon goes, still peeking?
Still like a little bit. Like it's a little...
Again,
harsh.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm picking up your plosives on that one.
Terrence
goes, all our listeners want This is the most pleasant part of the experience for everyone.
Yeah, this is going to have people ripping out their earbuds. All right, I gave it a try. I can't do this anymore.
they made it 46 episodes. Just like, you know,
I'm not into BDSM.
Thank you.
I really like the role play. I love the game. I love the community they've created. But just some of the sounds. The sounds are bad. I just don't like a lot of the sounds.
It's not worth the tinnitus.
So am I rolling a will save or like?
No. Terrence is just rolling an intimidate check. He's not trained in intimidation.
God!
Yeah! Well, he can still roll it. He's just bad at it.
It's a flavor scream. Can't do anything else.
It has no mechanical effect.
Oh, God. Yeah, it has no mechanical effect other than to lose listeners. That is Terrence the Pteranodon's turn. Sven, you're up. Do you want to scream?
No, I'll pass on that.
I did it.
For that. Is Terrence up in the air, or is he...
Terrence has landed.
Yes. Okay, Sven is going to rush him, has him right where he wants him, and yeah, he's getting double slice.
All right.
That is a 21 to hit.
21 is a hit.
Ooh. Nice. Come on.
For 8 points of damage.
8 points of damage. Still up.
Yep. And then he's going to swing through again. Oh, yes. That will be 30 to hit.
30 Ooh. Is a crit.
Yeah.
Crit. Yes.
Ooh. We're going to win this thing.
That will be for 13 points of damage.
Nice.
13.
There's no way. On a crit?
2d4s. Yeah. 2d4s and then you double your damage, right?
Yep. This is the small weapon. It's the small weapon.
Yep.
13 points of damage. All right, still up, but fucked up for sure. This poor injured and neglected Pteranodon named Terrence.
Oh, we're all it's injured okay. and neglected.
He swung at my friend.
Damn.
Join the club.
It's hard to watch. I'll just say that.
To be fair, Rudy, we may all be, you know, neglected and all, but like we haven't all been hit by a critical hit of a sickle from a trained fighter. So, yeah.
Well, that's mm-hmm. true. No, that's a pretty serious injury.
You remember that if you take one in life, you know.
Yeah.
All right, and watching their eyes tracking as Andruk moved away from them moments ago to fire his bow at the Pteranodon, Detrus seems frozen in place and finally begins to move as they draw their rapier and attempt to slash Claude's flank.
Whoa. The horse?
Next one.
Ah. Etrus hated horses.
Oh, Andruk hid this from me.
I didn't think you'd risk your life for someone who hates horses.
You're absolutely right.
That is a 32 to hit.
Mother of Pearl. Let me check if that's a crit. It's definitely
it's gotta be a crit, right?
It's definitely a crit for sure. Damn.
All right, that is a crit.
Tetris, why?
As you take 12 points of non-lethal damage as Detris's wrist turns at the last moment, and instead of slashing down, the flat of the blade catches it just at the end, and it still makes a slice, but it is non-lethal damage with the rapier.
So Detris feels complicated about horses. Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Detris does indeed feel complicated. Detris slashes at Claude and then creakily steps over to Leighton, just barely able to move the 5 feet towards him, and again lunges out with the rapier, taking the multiple attack penalty.
Lawyers. Doubly bad.
That is a 20 to hit.
Honestly, hating lawyers may be a little bit more understandable than hating horses. That's a hit.
And that is 9 points of non-lethal damage.
All
right. As again, it just glances off. It pokes you right where your armor is strongest. So it's a clean hit, but instead of cutting through, it seems almost like it's deliberately leaving a bruise. That is the end of round one, the top of round two. Who, doggy? It is Cav Nakash's turn. And he is a little more fucked up than he wanted to be at this point.
Is dreading his end step.
Think very carefully about your next move, Cav Nakash.
Yes, so Cav Nakash goes,
yes, I'll consider.
And from his back, whips off a maul the size of a 15-pound sledgehammer and swings it up, trying to connect with the professor's jaw.
He's going to send him flying. He's going to send the professor to fucking Pluto. Oh my
God. Think of your next move, very ping.
You see the Team Rocket, like, blinking.
Blast it off again!
All right, that is a 21 to hit.
Yeah, it is.
That is going to be 17 points of
damage.
Holy cow.
And then coming back down, just boom, boom, comes back down with the maul.
I might be dead.
That's a 23 to hit.
I doubt it.
That hits. I'm dead. Probably. We'll see.
Dead.
8 points of damage.
Whew. I have 1 point left.
What?
Rudy, you got to track.
Oh, I'm sorry. 9 points. 9 points of damage. I'm sorry. I'm putting it now. 9 points left.
You've got to track this shit where we can all see it. We care about you, man. What the fuck are you doing yourself?
Can't be having you think of your full snuff.
That is Kavnikash's turn, an interact to draw the maul, and then two hits on the professor. Leighton, you're up.
Wait. Sorry, so that's the end of his turn?
Oh, God.
Oh, it is the end of his turn.
Bonk,
right,
bonk, yeah.
He said
bonk.
It. He said it.
Sorry.
It's the end of his turn.
But also, narc, a little bit.
That sucks. As 1 point of mental damage.
5 points of acid damage.
5 points of acid damage, 6 points all day. Just going to make sure he's not immune to any of this stuff.
No!
And I'm going to roll the flat check, which, you know, 1 out of 4 times should succeed.
Statistics.
13 is still taking acid damage. Leighton, it is your turn.
All right. Claude is going to hoof. For like a moment, turns to attack Detris. As he turns around, he catches sight of Andruk, who like speechlessly implores him with his eyes not to respond to the harm.
Mm-hmm,
and I think Claude makes eye contact for a second and is like, turns back, bang, bang, slams out at Cav Nakash. First attack is going to be a 27 to hit.
I'm going to be a 27 to hit?
Yeah, that hits.
Casual 27. I have to re-roll the good one that jumped out of the box. 10 points of damage there.
Jeez Louise, nice. 10 points of damage. Nice. As I mean, these are just hooves stomping down on him, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Big punch. Second swing is going to be a 21 to hit.
21 is a miss.
21 is a miss. Okay. Yep.
Glances off his armor.
You got it. Leighton, for his part, is going to move up to Kavnakash. Icy globule in the hand. Slap out, strike him on the flank. Can I get a fortitude save, please?
Fortitude save from Kavnakash, absolutely. That is going to be a 26 to save on the fortitude.
That is a success. So he's going to take 7 points of damage and a -5 foot circumstance penalty to speed until the end of my next turn.
All right. And I'm going to put another little sticker on him.
Yeah, load him up.
Snail. So now he's got the my back hurts from regret, the acid flask for the acid that is slowly eating away at him, and a snail because he has been slowed 5 feet.
And I got one action left. Tempest Touch is only a single action, so I think I can just use it again. My understanding. Yeah. So go ahead and give me another fortitude save.
Boy, I understand it. 16.
That's a failure. This is going to be worse. But I rolled so badly. That's 11 points of bludgeoning and cold damage, and I assume the movement speed shit doesn't stack, so just make it a minus 10.
Minus 10? Yeah. No, I don't think it stacks. It's just the worst one.
Yeah.
All right, done.
That's all my focus spells. So the storm, as Leighton comes running up, I imagine it's like one hand, two hands, and as he gets there, the storm has erupted from around him, encasing the professor and Claude in it, and he just, two hands out, boom, hits him in the chest.
Oh, amazing. And how big is the radius of your storm right now?
10 feet.
Right, so like as you run over there, the storm is glowing as the orbs in your hands start to shine brighter and brighter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then... Excellent, Cole. And I've got that storm aura on you. Oh my goodness. Andruk, you're up. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, Druk's like taking things one step at a time. And he feels like he needs to get rid of this, like, pterodon. Mm-hmm. And then he can deal with Dedrus. So he's going to stride 15 feet to the east, get into his point blank stance. Actually, you know what? Strike that. Not going to get in the point-blank stance. It's just going to start shooting towards the Pterodon.
The Pterodon.
26?
26 is a hit.
6 points of damage.
Dead.
I'm sorry, what?
That what?
It's dead.
D-E-D, oh. Dead.
D-E-D, dead. Pterodon is no more. It's a real shame. I feel terrible for it. I'm going to leave it on the map just in case somebody wants to
reanimate it.
Help it.
Yeah.
Let's shove it into the orb.
Here's the thing. Druk's not even, like, doesn't give a shit. He's actually just going to take the shot, see that it's dead, and then, like, drop his bow and draw his shield. And that's going to be, I think, his last action.
Wow.
Right. So Pterodons and Mephits. Got it.
Absolutely love it. Man on a mission. Professor, you're up.
The professor looks to Rutherford and says, Rutherford, I think we've outstayed our welcome on this ledge. Why don't we get to a safer footing? And, Rutherford chirps in agreement. And they will run over just to the north of Kajnakaj, and we will hit him with a harm.
Yeah, almost.
Your true name, Kajnakaj.
And that is just that's a fortitude save for me, or what?
Yes.
That is going to be 30.
That's a critical success.
All right, so I think basic, right? So nothing happens?
Is that it? Nothing happens? Because it would be half if you had a regular success, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. Basic, so nothing.
Oh, well.
Well, how about that?
Well... Your deaths will not be in vain as he and Rutherford head down the stair. That's all I've got.
So the professor runs out of melee. Eugene, you are up.
Eugene's going to watch this fight start to get nasty. He's going to turn into
a bear.
Oh, Bergie.
Oh, Bergie.
He's going to move kind of like 5, 10, 15 feet. We'll go 20. And position himself in between Kavnakash and the professor.
Wow, amazing.
And that'll be his turn.
Eugene moving up into melee with Kavnakash, interposing his bare bod in between the weak halfling professor and this angry, enormous Zul'gath. Very brave, very brave. Svend, you're up.
Okay. Terrence, having now being a truly extinct dinosaur, is going to rush over also into the fray with a double move.
Mm-hmm.
Leveling right up next to our friend Nearest Kavnakash. And he's going to attempt a knockdown. I'm going to roll athletics if I hit you.
Rolling athletics against fortitude DC. You're trying to knock him down?
Yep. With a hit, 24 to hit.
24?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the knockdown feat. You make an attack to knock a foe off balance and follow up immediately with a sweep to topple them. This is a two-action ability.
Oh, balls, you're right. You're right, it is. My double move to get over here. Oh, I was so much closer. That's fine. I'll just hit him with my hammer anyways.
And that is a hit.
And that will be for 9 points of damage.
9 points of damage. Oh, all right. That is Sven's turn. It is the end of round three. Nearly, it is Detris's turn. As Detris... Oh, what does Detris do? Detris's eyes light on you, Andruk. And you see those two large black eyes fix on you. And they flash purple for just a second as they move to attack you. 18 to hit.
Miss.
Yes. Oh. Holy cow.
And less than that. The dice are telling the story. Detris is able to stay the Vermlek's hand. Because I'll tell you this, Vermlek was driving the ship that time. Those weren't going to be non-lethal strikes. That is Detris's turn. And that is the end of round three, the top of round four. It is Kavnakash's turn once again. On his last legs, he looks around, surrounded by enemies he didn't know existed until moments before.
He's going to jump. <Up him. laughs>
Wish you would take up.
Maybe it's just time for a bear hug.
He's going to do a Denethor.
And my goodness, he's got his lance out. He's surrounded right now. What is he going to do?
For the listening audience, while Sam is thinking about this, it is Eugene to the north, Leighton to the east, Claude to the southeast, Sven to the south, the edge of the tower to the west. This dude is in a rough spot.
He's in a rough frickin' spot. And his final line of defense, Detris, seems to be failing him. Oh, all right. And he is going to heft his maul and swing at the bear next to him.
No respect for animals, this guy.
I know.
You know what? All of you have damaged him this turn, haven't you? Except for the bear.
Unless you count the acid damage that came from the bear.
Yep. Okay. We're going to roll a D6. 1, 2.
Fuck that bear.
1, 2, Eugene. 3, 4, Leighton. 5, 6, Sven. He's pissed at all he is.
Go for all of them, Sam.
Claude, immune.
That is 5. That is Sven. Oh, God. Come on. Let's get hot. Let's get hot here. Let's get hot. God damn it. That's a 23 to hit.
That will hit.
It certainly will, but it isn't the crit I was looking for. The crit I needed to make this just a little
bit. Well, use a hero. Oh, wait. Yeah. You haven't given yourself any, have you?
Well, no, he's not like a hero. That's sort of the issue. Like he's
earned one. That is going to be...
God, he's really brave right now. He's fighting all you guys.
He's being fighting, yeah, he's six on right one.
Now. No. His dinosaur just died and he's still hanging and banging.
Does the remaster have villain points?
That would be great. That would be so fucking broken. That is going to be 24 points of damage as his maul comes crashing into you.
Jesus.
Coming in again at you, Sven.
Hit someone else, Sam.
That is going to be a 24 to hit.
That will also hit.
That'll also hit. That is 21 points of damage to you. And third action. Fuck it.
Aw. Wuss.
That's only a 17 to hit on his final attack. As he bang, bang, and then whoom, whiffs with his final swing. The maul head rests on the ground as he takes a big breath in, chest heaving. It is no longer his turn.
A wave of regret comes over him for those actions and takes 7 points of mental damage.
And then he feels the sting in his chest from the acid arrow that got stashed there a couple rounds ago, and he feels 5 points of acid damage.
And the maul slips from his fingers
as
he falls to a knee and collapses. You have defeated Kavnakash, the Zul'gath.
You're a SWAT team back there.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That is the boss of book one of the Extinction Curse Adventure Path. Congratulations. Y'all mowed him down. My God.
Fucking A.
Mm-hmm.
We Mogan Mayored him right down.
Oh, man. Professor, good job getting out of there, because he would have swung at you. And I'm just going to let you know, the spell is so fucking awful. You would have hated me so much, but it is death knell. You snuff the life out of a creature on the brink of death. This is for a creature that has 0 hit points, which I was going to bring you to if I hit you.
Right, yeah.
The target must attempt a will save. If this kills it, you gain 10 temporary hit points.
Holy shit.
It is a DC 24 will save. It is not a gimme. And I was, if the professor had stayed there and hung around, I was going to hit you with my maul with one action, hopefully, and then reach down and touch it. At that point, Sven would have been there. No, he wasn't there yet, because it was the round before.
Yeah.
And I was, it's just a spell. It's a PC killer.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Is that an evil spell? Like, does it have the evil trait?
It has the death trait.
Okay.
Does it have the woulda, coulda, shoulda trait? Or
damn!
Wow.
Sunglasses are off from Will.
The hindsight is 20/20 trait.
So,
well, I forgot to mention, Detris is dead.
Yeah, it sucks. That's really way too bad. That's really way too bad. But Morgan's right.
So, GM who can only take vengeance in the story.
Kavnakash falls, and as he breathes his last, you look up, all of you, and see the Aeon Orb in its eternal orbit around this tower, and it begins to speed up faster and faster and faster until it is just a blur all around, a ring of white light speeding around this tower, unbroken, and then and you all feel washing over you a wave of life energy. It feels different for each of you. It feels almost like an object has been added to your soul. You have been granted the reflection of life, which is a resonant reflection, a boon of this tower. Because you cleansed it of the invading forces, the tower recognized your service and has granted this to you. Resonant reflections are technically magic items that do not have any physical substance. They are automatically invested, and they don't count towards your limit of 10 invested items, which is a rule we haven't really dealt much with, because y'all don't have that much stuff. They're not visible, though the effects can be, and the hero, all of you, are aware of its presence. I'm going to tell you what it does. You regain double the normal number of hit points when resting. So you regain double your constitution modifier multiplied by your level.
Nice.
The healing you gain from long-term rest is also doubled. You can focus this healing energy to accelerate your body's natural healing processes even further. Once a day, you can activate it using 2 actions, and you gain fast healing 3 for 1 minute.
Holy shit.
Yeah. The trigger is envision. So that is a completely mental action that you could have taken while paralyzed in an ooze. And it scales
as
with
an
level.
Example that would never come up that you don't have to worry about.
Who could imagine?
Hypothetically.
That is the good thing that happens to you.
Uh-oh.
All of your heads turn towards Andruk and Detris, where their rapier is pointed at Andruk in a guard position, quavering. What do you do?
I think Druk is going to talk to Detris and just say, Detris, it's over. We won. All of us, you too. We won. Put down your sword.
And they blink their eyes, and for a moment, you think you can see the natural green color that you recognize. When they blink again, they're black. You see their hand shaking, as if they're fighting with their own muscles.
That's it, Detris. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. And Druk will grab the sword hand, but not try to disarm. Just trying to lend some strength to Detris.
How fast do you move?
Fast.
Give me an attack. Give me an unarmed attack for that. Or a grapple, whatever you want to do.
Probably an unarmed attack would be better, but I don't have any way to do that quickly, so I'm just going to do an athletics. It's a natural 20. No bullshit.
Hey, holy cow.
27 total.
Yeah, so you grab their wrist, and once again, that connection is activated, and in your mind, you can hear,
Druk, please save me. This creature, it's controlling me. It's working its way into my mind. Please, Druk, I need your help.
And you believe, in this moment, that you can communicate mind to mind directly with Detris.
How do I help you?
It needs to be removed. It needs to be taken off of my body. I don't know much more than that. It's dangerous. But Druk, I'd rather die than live like this. I believe I can hold it off and hold myself still. But it's so strong, Druk, and it just wants to kill. It just wants to... It just wants to... I need to focus, Druk. I need to focus on...
And invading your thoughts and your mind is this alien, otherworldly language that you believe is the Vermlek coming in between the two of you.
I need to focus, Druk. I need to...
Jerks their hand back, and you see them like vibrating with tension. What do you do?
All right, so this snaps Druk into medic mode, and he looks around and sees Svend and uses his most authoritative voice to say, Svend! Can you hold them? To try to get some stability while Druk looks around at their head to try to get a sense of where the worms are coming from and what might be safe.
Okay, and I'll say this. This medicine check can be aided by other skills. It can be aided by medicine. It can be aided by a cult.
Sam.
And yeah.
Eugene isn't really very helpful with medicine or... occult knowledge, stuff like that, but can Eugene help to hold them still or make sure that they don't stab us while we're checking them out medically?
Yeah, you want to aid by working to like physically restrain Detris.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so that would, I think, basically be a grapple to help hold them still. Yeah, you can definitely do that. That'll be an athletics check. It's going to be DC 20, as all of these will. Let's talk about what each of us is doing, and then we'll roll all of the aids together. And for this, I'm going to say that everybody who can aid. I'm not going to limit it. We can take a cult. We can also definitely take religion. Mm-hmm. All right, so what are other people doing to aid on this check? So Rudy, I think you're rolling relig. Morgan, you're rolling athletics. Leighton, have an idea?
Leighton, and I think this is the way it sticks, is too worried that if he brings the storm close enough that he could have something to say about it, that it would interfere. And I think that moment of isolation kind of pulls him away. And he stops himself and just says, you have everything you need, Andruk. The others will help. I'll keep the space clear. And just sort of leans against Claude.
Okay. Svend.
Svend is also going to grab on to Detris for Andruk's instruction.
Okay. And I'll say that for those two athletics checks, both of you are going to attempt to aid. That the most that can be done with those two athletics checks is going to be the plus two. So I'll cap that because, you know, holding them still is going to cap at plus two to help.
Can they give each other plus two since they're both working together to hold them?
Let's see what happens when they roll.
Okay.
I got a 30.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a 17.
Okay. So the 17, Eugene attempting to hold still, but just not doing a great job of controlling. Svend, seeing that, is also able to reach across and like clamp down where the Vermlek was starting to get control of one of Detris's limbs. Svend, with that 30, that is a critical success on an aid. We're going to give plus three to the medicine check for that. And you're just able to lock down so that Andrew can get a good look at it. And Rudy?
Yeah, so my religion check is a 18.
Is an 18? Okay, so doesn't aid. So you're getting plus three on this roll. Roll that dice, Andrew.
All right. It's a 19 on the die for a 30. Ooh. Plus three is 33.
33. All right. That is very good.
Come on.
That is very good, because with 33, I'm going to tell you everything. It's bad.
Yeah.
Again, you learned last week that this was not something that they were ever supposed to live through, right? And you recognize sort of the details, what you've already been able to piece together from things that Kavnakash was saying. But Detris has been attached to an enormous, and you can tell, powerful Vermlek. And in some bizarre ritual, its life-destroying force was indeed married with the life-preserving force of this. It is completely intertwined in Detris's nervous system. And that was how it became a tell, a barometer. They are still in there. The Vermlek can be removed with a successful medicine check. But whether they survive the shock in any real way will require a fortitude save from them. And the party can help with that fortitude however they see fit. So once again, people can try to help. And I'm willing to take creative suggestions for how you think you might aid in this fortitude save. Also, you know that even in the best case scenario, Detris is going to come out banged up after this. But if things go really poorly, they could die. And that fortitude save is not a gimme.
So I need another medicine check, is that right?
Yeah. You now know all of that
mm-hmm.
with the initial medicine check. And I'll say that having unlocked all of that, you're basically going to put yourself in a better position. You've lowered the DC for that heal check to extract the Vermlek by 4.
Okay.
So it's a DC 21 heal check. Detris is then going to make a fortitude save. How do people want to help?
Andrew, if you can get it out, my patron may be able to help if I ask very, very nicely.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Eugene's down to help in any way.
Good buddy. Do you have any, like, smelling salts? Or strongly scented herbs that could help to snap them out of it.
Bud, I'm flush with basil and mint. And I can wave this stuff around all you like.
Can't hurt.
Got any sage?
I'm sure he does.
I will say that Druk knows of Detris's fondness for burnt sage. And that in burning sage that you have in your herb pouch, you will be able to aid in the fortitude save.
Doc, can you keep him warm using some fire?
Certainly. More than glad to. And the professor and Rutherford get on either side of Detris and set a little easy fire around their legs to keep them from going cold during this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe you're going to... Can you sustain it with like a flaming sphere? Something like that?
Yeah. So there's a flaming sphere around Detrus, but not hurting Detrus.
And I'll say that, Svend, if there's something that you want to do after the Vermlek has been removed, it may also be helpful to aid again on this heal check by holding Detrus still. So,
yeah.
I'm worried about the heal check. Let's go. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So, Ben, roll to aid on the heal check with your athletics to grapple.
23.
Give yourself plus 2 on this.
Oh, thank God. It was an 18 on the die. 29 total plus 2 is 31.
Oh.
31. Wow. So, Andruk, you draw your dagger and are basically doing like field surgery, battle medicine, and you go in and you're able to damage the Vermlek so that its tendrils start recoiling in on itself, and you watch as it moves itself out of their body from the places that you are snipping, and you're able to, and you pull the Vermlek worm off from Detrus's neck. You see like their spinal column exposed as the Vermlek had basically become their flesh. And now Detrus is rolling a fortitude save.
And Leighton is going to step in, look up and say, I don't understand you, but you've helped me so far and I hope you'll pass that along. And rub his hands together and cast Protection, which gives a plus 3 save bonus against effects that would directly control the target and attacks made against them of the evil alignment, in an effort to sort of like burn away the remaining worm flesh and allow Detrus to kind of heal into that space.
Absolutely. And as you pour your magical energy into this, you feel yourself losing some of your magic, right? Because this may not be exactly what it's supposed to do, but your deity does step in and does endorse this, but it's going to cost you 2 spell slots to cast this spell in this regard.
So I only have 1 left, but okay. It's a first level spell cast with a second level slot. That's what I had left.
Okay. You are going to lose your spell casting ability for the rest of the day.
Done.
The last thing is that Drew never knew that he was casting spells. Whenever he was casting guidance, he was really just trying to be a positive, you know, supportive figure.
Shut up.
He's also never cast a leveled spell. Although he's had it for a while now. And I think that Druk is about to discover that he can cast heal. And he's had this for a while, have never used it, but he's going to, you know, use the power of Caden Kayleen and think, man, it would be killer if they lived. Channel that into a heal for Detrus, which doesn't help the fortitude in any way beyond symbolic.
Absolutely, but it pours through those healer's gloves that you're wearing that are still pristine white, amplifying that magic. So we've got plus 3 from Leighton's deity. We've got this heal, which I'm going to say grants a plus 2 bonus. And then we've got the professor's fire, keeping them warm for a plus 1, bringing us up to 6. And the sage, trying to bring them back to themselves, that is going to be a plus 7 to their fortitude save. Their fortitude bonus is plus 19. It is a DC 28.
Oh, Christ.
Fortitude save. The only way they can critically fail, the only way they will die, is on a natural 1. Anything other than that is just a failure. Will Harold, as Andruk, I would like you to roll this check. And Will, a hero point for that spell mischief. I love that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Rolling it 14 on the die and roll 20, as you can all see.
Yes.
For a 33 all day. Detrus.
He did it.
And then collapses.
No, Sven's holding him.
Great point.
They fall, they're totally gently. Fine.
We'll find out what happens next week on.
And we'll find out what happens next week on The Heroes Die.
Yay!
Well done.
Woo! Oh, thank you all so much. That was beautiful.
Wow.
Excellent work.
Can't wait to meet our new cast member. Maggie's going to be so good as Detrus.
Yeah, if only I'd been able to kill the professor, then we would have had, you know. Oh, it would have been just, you know, hand in glove. All right. I'll tell you what's going on with Detrus
next week.